Mary and Martha. They were amongst Jesus' closest friends. They and their brother Lazarus were really loved by him, and they loved him. And their house was where Jesus went when he needed to let the cares of the world fall away and be embraced by people who just accepted him and who were there for him through all that he had to go through. It's why in the last week of his life, he spent quite a lot of time in Bethany. And that home was like a sanctuary for him, I think. And the friendship that he found there was so good for him. Mary and Martha welcomed Jesus into their house, their physical house, but also into the house of their hearts. And that's what he wants with all of us, that that's where we welcome him. And he loved them, these two sisters, different in so many ways. He loved them dearly and deeply and unconditionally and with no favourites. And he's like that with us too. I sometimes like to think that we're all his favourite, and that equally so. These sisters, though, they were very, very different. So let's have a thought or two about each of them. First of all, I'm with Martha. And I think that Martha may well have been the older sister, because she was the one who was welcoming Jesus to the house and who was so busy, and also a little bit bossy, maybe, like older siblings can be. And I know this because I am one. And I think that when we were all younger, my younger siblings used to think I was a bit bossy. And what I actually remember myself is that I often felt responsible and as though I was taking care of people and organising in a way that felt like at times a bit of a burden to me, but still I felt it was necessary. I was doing things that were necessary as an older sister. So I'm really with Mary. I've got a heart for her. I think that she's got the well-being of others at heart, and there's a lot resting on her. And then there's Mary. And Mary is quite mysterious, isn't she? I think she was the younger sister, and like younger siblings, it may be that that Martha thought that Mary got away with stuff, that she could do things because she was the younger one, and that somehow that was allowed. She may have got away with a lot. We think of her as contemplative, don't we? The one who sits and thinks and is at the feet of Jesus, listening so calmly to him. I like Mary, and I want to be like her. I want to do what she does. But in actual fact, I think she's rather, or I wonder if she is rather meeker and milder than I am, because I know that I'm quite feisty, really. And then I'm thinking of my two guinea pigs. They're new guinea pigs in our household, and their names are Mary and Martha. And I called them Mary and Martha thoughtfully as I looked at each one of them. And Mary, I thought, you've got smooth fur and you look quite calm. And Martha was dishevelled and her hair was a bit tufty, and it looked like she'd arrived in a hurry and was still in a hurry as well. And so I called her by the name that seemed to suit her. But it turns out that Mary is absolutely wild. She does not want to be caught. She is feisty, and it's Martha that's the calmer one. So then I'm thoughtful about feistiness and anything good that there might be about that. Because Mary is absolutely outrageous in this story. So feisty herself, though she looks to be meek and calm. But she is sitting at the feet of Jesus like someone who has the right to sit there, learning from the rabbi, listening to his words, and sitting at his feet. And only men were allowed to do that in those days. And so she had broken the mould already, just by sitting there. And that Jesus allowed her to do so also broke the mould as well, because he was saying, "Women folk, you're welcome as my disciples. You might have thought you weren't, but let me say you are. Look at Mary, and she's chosen the better way here." And think of the time when Mary smashed that jar of oil, precious oil, worth thousands of pounds. She smashed the jar and she poured the perfume on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair and washed with the addition of her own tears. So extravagant, so out of the ordinary, so intimate and so shocking for everybody to see. So I am with meek and mild Mary, not being so meek and mild after all, but teaching us something about how to be brave, courageous, and to break the mould, and to be welcomed by Jesus in doing so. But it got her in trouble this day, and her sister, Martha, who I do identify with as well, was thinking, "Oh my goodness, I'm doing all the work here, and my sister's not helping me." And she went to Jesus and she said, "Tell Mary to help me." But Jesus won't do that. His message that day, and it's a resounding message through the ages, is there is one thing that matters more than any other thing, and before any other thing is done, and that is to be still and know that I am God. Then you'll know what to do. Because it wasn't that Jesus was not an activist and didn't approve of putting our faith into practice with good service and good works. After all, he had just come from teaching about the Good Samaritan, the one who put faith into action and helped a person in distress when the more religious ones walked on by. So Jesus, he really wants us to do things that demonstrate and express our faith. Faith without works is dead, says the Bible just a little further on in James's letter. But what matters first and foremost is prayer. And to be at Jesus' feet, and to wonder about his mystery, and to be with what he's teaching us. All those beautiful, mysterious, theological conundrums that are expressed in the first reading we had today from Colossians are there to be explored and pondered and wondered about, and for Jesus to reveal more of himself to us. So we do well to sit quiet with a reading like that. And I hope that you will, over the week ahead, take your pew sheet home and maybe meditate on that passage. See what Jesus has to tell you from it. Straight after this encounter with Mary and with Martha, Jesus goes into something else that tells us about discipleship. And that is, he teaches on the Lord's Prayer. So this encounter with these two sisters sits between the Good Samaritan and the Lord's Prayer. And both those come together in discipleship. Both are needed, prayer and stillness and contemplation and being with Jesus in his company, and then going out and doing what he has invited us to do. And so I wonder today, who are we identifying with? Are we with Mary? Are we with Martha? Are we recognising, as I do, that both of them are within me? And as long as it's prayer that comes first, the rest will follow. Two ways of discipleship. But listen first. Listen. And as we ponder what it is that we're hearing today, I'm going to read a poem. And this is called I Am Mary, I Am Martha. And it's from the Iona community. Lord of earth and sky, as Martha did, I welcome you into the house of my heart. As Mary did, I welcome you into the home of my thoughts. In service, in listening, I welcome you. Like Martha, I'm distracted. So many calls on my time. I run here and there, starting this and that, never spending long enough, giving people the impression that I'm too busy for them. Like Mary, I choose. Choose to slow down. Choose to sit at your feet. Choose to offer you my ministry of listening. Save me from feeling guilty about the kitchens of the world, the hot spots, the action areas, so much. And help me to identify with your compassion and your presence, there as everywhere. Welcomed and welcoming Christ, may all sisters and brothers come together into your presence and together eat at your table the meal you have prepared for us, that from the kitchen of your suffering, a banquet may be prepared for all to eat. An invitation to prayer, I think, in the summer months, the time where we are not constrained by the usual frameworks of term time, but a time where we might indulge in contemplation with Jesus' blessing upon our keeping company with him more deeply and knowing his love as if we're the favourite one, because we're choosing to do what he says matters most. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.